Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Chav Ches. We begin three lines from the bottom of the Amud on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara resumes quoting from the Mishnah that said "V'hayoytzi mina eitz einu metame tumas oilam ela pishtam." That it said that although all things that are derivative from a tree that are from wood, they're not metame tumas oilam, and that is although if let's say you make that as a roof made out of wood, and now there's going to be tumas oilam, that anything that's in the same tent will become tame. However, the roof itself will not become tame besides pishtam. That although, as the Gemara on the previous daf explained, that pishtan, flax, linen, although it's called a tree in halacha, it's called like that, there's a pasuk that says, bepishte or eitz, and the trees are flax. However, in spite of the fact that it's like a tree, it will be metame tumas oilam, and that the roof itself will become tame. So the Gemara asked, Menalan, from where do we know this, that the roof made out of flax will become tame? Why is it different than all other trees, that things that come from a tree will not become tame? So the Gemara says, Amr Belaza, Gemar oil, we learn out that it says, tent over here and tent over there, and we continue on to the top of Chav Chesem and Aleph, Mi Mishkan, from Mishkan. And that is, there was nothing else that was a derivative from a tree that was part of the Mishkan besides Pishtan, besides linen, as it says that the 10 Yerias that were there as the roof, so to speak, of the Mishkan was made out of fabric. And it says, Sheish Masha, that it was made out of linen. And therefore, we learn the following thing. Ksev Hacha, Zayis HaTayra, says over here in the Pasuk regarding the Tumas of Oilim by the tent, that the roof, when everything is under the same area, the roof, that it's, everything is going to become Tame. It says that this is the law, Adam Kiyamas Ba'oil, a man when he passes away, when he dies in the tent. So it says the word oil. Ksev Hasim, it says over there by the Mishkan, Ba'yifras is the oil ala Mishkan, and that they spread the oil, the covering, the tent, over the Mishkan. And therefore we learn, Malahal and Shal Pishtun Kar oil, just like over there, that the covering that was made out of linen was called oil. So Afkan Shal Pishtun Kar oil, so also over here, regarding the Tumas of Oilim, that it says by the Parashah, when someone passes away in a room, in a closed area that has a roof, that also that it's going to be considered oil, that the roof will be called if it's made out of Pishtun, out of flax. And therefore, it itself will become Tameh. So the Gemara asks, "Ima lahalan shizurin b'chutin kafel vav." If you're learning out from the Mishkan, so then you should say that the linen that there is considered a roof should have to be the same type, and that it's just like over there by the Mishkan, it had to be twisted and it had to have threads that were sixfold. So afkan shizurin b'chutin kafel vav. Maybe here also, for it to be considered a roof, that it should be mekabel tameh, that it has to be that it was twisted and it has sixfold threads. So that the Gemara says, "Tamaloymer oil riba." That since it says the word oil twice, it's coming to add on that it's saying not only that it has to be exactly like it was in the Mishkan, that it has to be specifically twisted and sixfold threads, but even another level, that if it's just going to be pishtan, just linen, it also will go ahead and be mekabel tuma of oilim, that the roof will become tummy. So the Gemara says, e oil oil riba, afil kol mili nami. But if you have an extra word oil that's adding on more than just the way it was exactly in the Mishkan, so maybe it should add on everything, even if it's not linen, all other fabrics also, that the roof will become tummy. So the Gemara says, then, imken gzeir shavah mayhanila. So then what do we gain by the gzeir shavah to say we should learn of oil that it says over here by the tumma of the oilim? And there that says by the Mishkan the word oil, that we're learning out one from the other, we're not learning if it's including all different types of fabrics. So what would be learning? So obviously it's somewhere in between, that it's going to be not exactly like the Mishkan, doesn't have to be twisted and sixfold threads, but it has to be similar, and that's what the Gzeir Shav is teaching us, that it has to be pished on, it has to be flax linen, just like it is in the base that it was in the Mishkan. But then the Gemara asks, if you're learning off in the Mishkan, Ve'imim alahal and krashim, say just like over there by the Mishkan, that there were beams that were made out of wood, Afkan krashim here also regarding the Tumah Oilim, it also should apply to beams. And therefore you should say that something that comes from wood also should be considered oil, and that it shouldn't be Mekabel Tumah. Why are we saying just flax because of the roof? Well, I mean, the beams were also called the oil, also part of the Mishkan. And that the Gemara says, Amakra, you have to look at the pasuk. It says, "Vesisa krashim la mishkan," that you should make beams for the Mishkan, and that is Mishkan kari Mishkan, and that is the oil which is called the Mishkan. That's called the Mishkan. The roof is what designates the name. They ain't krashim kari Mishkan, but the beams are not called the Mishkan. Rather, they made beams for the Mishkan, and therefore we can't learn out oil from there to say to include wood that which are what beams are made from. That should also be mekabel the term of oil. Then the Gemara asks, El me'ata. But now we have a different pasuk that says "Vasisa michsel oil," that you should make a covering for the oil, and that is that what it says by the Mishkan. So achinami, if so, michsel lo yikra oil. That means that the mix is not called the oil because it says you should make the cover for the oil, and that is it itself is not the oil. Just like we said by the krashim, that you should make it for the oil, and that is there were 10 yerias of sheish mazar of twisted linen, and the Mishkan is called the oil, as it says, "Is Mishkan oil oil moed." So therefore the Gemara is saying that the hides that's called the michsa were made out of iris, which were hides. And therefore that was on top of the one that was made out of what we call the sheish mazda. So therefore that shouldn't be called the oil, because it also says in the pasuk that is you should cover it over the oil. And therefore, the same thing should apply that regarding tumah, it should not be makabel tumah if it's and made out of iris, out of hides. And the question is, if that's the case, ella hadapai Rabbi Elazar. If we're saying the logical conclusion, that we're saying that anything that's saying that you should make it for the Mishkan means it's not actually the Mishkan, and therefore it cannot be included in the Gezer Shava of saying what's Makabla Toma, which includes Karashim. So they have a Michsa, which is a Michsa oil, which was there were three different levels, or possibly two, of different types of coverings that cover the Mishkan. There were different roofs. So therefore, with the oil, the one that we're saying is that one we're learning regarding the Pishta and the linen, so that we know that's called the oil. But then it says you should make a mixer covering a top of the oil, which was made out of hides. And therefore, it should be conclusive that that's not makabel tuma of the oil, and because it's only, so to speak, covering over the oil, but it itself is not called the oil. But if that's the case, Rabbi Elazar asked the following question. He wanted to know, what's halacha regarding non-kosher hides? Will that also be makabel tuma of oil ames or not? So therefore, the Gemara asks, now that we're saying, we're concluding, that even the hides of kosher animals not makabel tuma, which is, for example, the Elam Odamim, the reddened ram skins, which were used as the second covering, which is called the Michsa. That's not Makabel Tumah, because it's only a covering for the oil, but it itself is not called oil, and therefore not including the Gezeirah Shavah. So, Oy Behemet Tumei Ben Bayis, how can you say, how could Rabbi Elazar ask regarding the non-kosher hides, if even the kosher hides are not included? So what's his question? So the Gemara says, no. Shani Hasam, there it's different by the Michsa, by these hides, that although it would seem to be in the same category as the Krashim, that it should not be included because only made, so to speak, as an accessory for the Mishkan, because the Hada Adre Krah, because the Pasuk goes back and brings it back into the terminology of oil. The Sefer says in the Pasuk, when they were carrying and transporting the Mishkan from one Masor to another one, it says, V'nasur Siriyas HaMishkan, that they shall carry the panels of the covering, Ves Oil Moyed, and the tabernacle, the tent, Michseyu, its covering, u'michse ha-tachash asher alav, and the covering of the tachash, which was the second layer that's on top of the first covering, which was made out of linen. And therefore, the Gemara says, makash elyon le-tachton, what the Pasuk is doing is it's comparing the upper covering, which was the hides, which was called the michse, to the lower covering, which was the what was called the oihel, which was made out of ezim, which had flax and linen inside. And that is ma-tachton, kar oil, just like the lower covering, the lower roof, which was made out of this fabric, is called oil. Saf elyon kar oil, so too the upper one is also called oil, and therefore it's different than krashim, although it seems like it's also an accessory to the Mishkan, but since it later had includes it and compares it to the lower one, so we see it has the same classification as the name oil. So therefore hides are included in the tumah of oilim, that the roof will become tummy. And therefore that was Rabbi Elazar's question, is it only for kosher hides, or even from non-kosher animals, that their hides would also be makabel tumah of oil? Now the Gemara goes back and discusses this question Rabbi Elazar had. Gufa, we said before, what is the halacha? Are the hides of non-kosher animals also mekabel the tumah of oilim or not? So the Gemara asks, what exactly was his question? In other words, we learn out this tumah of oilim from this gezer shava of oil, and we learn that from the Mishkan. And the Mishkan was only kosher animals, so what was his question? So the Gemara says no, because Amar Rav Adar Bar Hava Tachash Hoyi B'mei Moshe Kimi Boilei. His question was hinging on regarding this animal called Tachash, which was only in the days of Moshe Benu in the desert. And the question was Tamei Hoyi Oitarhar. One of the animals that was used, the skin was used, was called a Tachash, and he wasn't sure if that was a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal. That would make the difference. If it was a non-kosher animal, that means even the non-kosher hides were called oil, and therefore that would be compared to the Gezeirah Shavah, but to say even the tumas of oilim would be also learnt out from the word of oil, that it's also makabel tumah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, mai tibayi leitanina. What exactly was his question, if tachash was a non-kosher animal or not, if they used hides of non-kosher animals for the covering of the Mishkan? We learned explicitly that it says, lehuchshru lo nacha shemayim, elo oir behemet har bavad. We say in the Brisa, it says explicitly that there was only thing that was kosher to be used for the work of heaven, for the Mishkan, only from the skins, from the hides of kosher animals. So therefore, the oir tame of the skin of a non-kosher animal is definitely not makabel tumah. So therefore, I don't understand this question. Of course, it's not going to be makabel tumah because we learned from the Mishkan, and the Mishkan only had kosher animals. On that, the Gemara asks, on that response, Masa Reb Abba, Rabbi Huda Omer Shnei Machsayis. Rabbi Huda says that there were two coverings above the lowest covering made out of the ezim, out of the goats here, which had linen. There was two coverings on top of that, and that is Echad Shel Oiris Elam Adam. One was from the hides of the reddened rams, that they made the ram skin red. VeEchad Shel Oiris Tachash. Another one was from the hides of this animal called Tachash. Rabbi Nechemia Omer Michse Echad Hayy. No, there was only one covering, and that is This one covering was half from the rams and half from the tachash. When it says mulmala, we're going on both of them, both regarding the rams and both regarding the tachash, that was one covering on top of the lowest covering, which was the yiris ha'izim, which was made out of the goats. And v'dayma kimin tala ilan, and the tachash was similar was to the animal tala ilan, which is a non-kosher animal that was speckled with different types of colors. And literally, Talilin means that it hangs from trees. This animal, it would seem that it was hanging from trees. So this Tachash was similar to that Talilin. And the question is, well, Talilin Tamehu, this Talilin, this animal, this non-kosher animal, is non-kosher. So therefore, if we're saying the Tachash was like a Talilin, so obviously it was a non-kosher animal. So what are you saying? That how are you telling me that it was only kosher animals? Like it says, Lamach Shemaim has to be only kosher animals. We say explicitly that the Tachash is non-kosher. So he responds to him, no. It was like the tali ilan. In what regard? Sheish begvanim harba, that had many different colors. V'loy tali ilan, but it wasn't exactly like tali ilan. The ilahasim tamei v'achatar, because the tali ilan is a non-kosher animal, and here the tachash was a kosher animal, as we said that l'malach shemayim had to be from a kosher animal. So the Gemara concludes on that this is why the tachash, it was like a tali ilan, because it had many different colors. Amar v'yosef v'yahachi, accordingly to what we said, Hainu did mitagamina and sasgoina. That's why the Unkelis translates the word tachash as sasgoina, because sasgoina is a composition of two words, shesas, that it rejoices, begvan harba, with its many colors. That's sasgoina, that's gvanim, that means many different colors, that it was happy with its beauty and with its all different colors, and so to speak, was excited about that. That's why the tachash was called sasgoina, and that's the idea, because it had many different colors. So that's one opinion in the Gemara, that obviously it cannot be from non-kosher animals by the Mishkan, and therefore the Tumas Olam is not going to have non-kosher. Now the Gemara brings a different opinion that argues on Rabbi Yosef, that says, no, that even the hides of a non-kosher animal will be mekabel Tumas Olam. And that is Rava Amar, Oy behemet tamei demetame boilam meis mahacha. And this, he brings a large proof of it that takes a while to show that the hides of non-kosher animals would be mekabel Tumas. The Tanya is one of the Braisa, Oyr, it says in the Torah, Oyr. Oy ba'or. In truth it says, or in the hides. This is by the Parsha of Negoyim, by Tsaras, that it says, oy ba'or, or in the hides, and really could have just said, oy ba'or, or hide. Why does it have to say the extra letter bays? So that, the Braisa says, riba oy behemet tumeya, that we come to include that also the hide of a non-kosher animal, that the Tumah of Negoyim will apply that to. The shaloki biat kain, and also a type of an article that will become afflicted only when the kohen is holding it, that also will be applicable for the halacha of Negoyim. It doesn't have to be tummy before it comes to the hand of the kohen. Tosfos explains that these two items, why would I have thought that non-kosher hides, or if it only became tummy after it came to the kohen, that it would have been different, is because it says over there by the tummy of Negoyim, tzemer, which is from a kosher animal, that's why we had to have an extra reber to tell you about a non-kosher animal. And similarly, since it says, v'habeged kihi b'yneged tzeras, says that the article of clothing that will have the affliction of tzeras, and then says v'her l'kayin, he'll show it to the kayin, is only is mashma that if it wasn't the nega before he showed it to the kayin, that would be tar, and that's why you have to have extra rebut to say these two cases, that even if it was shown to the kayin afterwards, it was shown to the kayin, and then afterwards it got the nega, it will be tama from the tama and the kayin. And similarly also that although it says tzemer, it will include even the oya behemet tmeh. So then the b'risa continues, katzetz mikulon. How do you know that if you cut from all the different types of fabrics and then you show it to the kohen that and you make it into one piece, that will also become tumah from the tumas nagoyim, or all the workings of leather, that is, even if you put them all together, it will be mekabel tumah. And therefore, we see also that regarding the tumah of oilam, that even but we see that just like by nagoyim, that behemoth tumah, a non-kosher animal, is mekabel tumah negoyim, so too for the tumah of oilam, for the roof, that the roof will become tumah, even if it's the hide of a non-kosher animal. So therefore, Rabbi says, not like Rabbi Yosef. However, the Gemara says, v'ikla mifich, but you could refute that, and say you can't learn that from negoyim, because malagun negoyim shenkein shasiv arv tumah behen. There's a special chumrah, an added stringency that you only have by negoyim, and maybe that's why it has the chumrah that even the hides of non-kosher animals is mekabel tumah, because even the warp and the woof threads are mekabel tumah, whereas by a mess, it has to be at least an object by a certain measurement, and it's not enough just by threads. So the Gemara says, yeah, legama mishratzim. Rather, we're going to learn it out from shratzim, that these non-kosher, crawly creatures, that they're mekabel tumah, it's going to be del metame, even something that's a hide of a non-kosher animal. That's not, Tanya has learned the braisa, oh, it says in the parasha there by shratzim, it says hide. Ainli ela oy behem tayra, I would only know that it would be metame, the shratzim, the hide of a kosher animal. Oy behem tamei minayin, how do I know that's metame, even the hide of a non-kosher animal? Tamaloyma oy ar, there's an extra oy ar to say that even the hide, to tell me that even non-kosher hides is mekabel tumah from shratzim. So the Gemara said, "Deklamivrbi, could you refute that? That maybe you can't learn out the din of oil hames from shrotzim, and that is because shrotzim has its own added stringency. Because mal shrotzim shekem metame bekadasha, sheretz is metame even if it's as small as a lentil, and therefore, whereas by a mess it has to be a larger size. Maybe there you don't have the stringency that it's metame even a non kosher hide." So the Gemara goes back, Negoim Michichu, but Negoim Tziraz can prove that no, it's not enough by a lentil. It has to be at least the size of a gris, of a bean. So you see that's not dependent on this added stringency of a lentil. And then the Gemara says, V'chazra din, the argument repeats itself, as it always does when we're learning it from two different things, Le Rizek Rizeh, the nature of this one is not like the nature of this one, V'le Rizek Rizeh, and the nature of, in other words, that each one, the stringencies of Shratzim, are not the same stringency as by Negoim. Hatzad, Shavashab, and the common denominator of both of them, of Shratzim and the Goyim, are Sha'ur Tamehen, that hides become Tamei through them, through the Nega and through the Sheretz. V'asar behem etameik, ar behem etayir, and we made equivalent the hide of a non-kosher animal to the hide of a kosher animal. So therefore, half in the oil of mes, so too I will bring regarding the oil of a mess, Sha'ur Tamei, that we know that hides are metambayit, as one of the mikhsa which we compare from the Gzeir Shabbat oil was made out of hides. V'nasabah, ar behem etameik, ar behem etayir, and therefore, we'll learn that from Sheretz and Nega that the same thing would apply, that for non-kosher hides, will have the same susceptibility from Mekabel Tumah as the hides of kosher animals. However, the Gemara asks in this pshat of Rava, Amli Rava me barnish la Rava Ashi, ikla mefrich, you could refute even this tzad ha-shava, because mala tzad ha-shava shebehen shekin temein poches mikazayis, that although each one has different shiurim, that a sheretz is even by a dasha, and the nega has the size of a bean, of a gris, but both of them are smaller than the kazayis, whereas by a mess, it will not be metame, it won't transmit tumah if it's less than the size of kazayis, which is larger than both the bean and the lentil. So therefore, maybe only those two, the nega and sheretz, which have these chumas, they're larger, they're smaller measurements that are necessary. So therefore, maybe they're metame, non-kosher hide, but maybe mess is not. So therefore, you can't learn from there. Say Alam Ravim Banish, rather Rav Banish brings a different source to learn. We would we know that non-kosher hides would be Mekabel Tumah by oil. We continue on to Amud Beis. As to Mekabel Chaimah, we learn that Mekabel Chaimah minoitze shel izin, from plucked goats here. And that is She'ein Metam by Negoyim. These noitze shel izin, the plucked goats here, they're not Metam by Negoyim. In spite of that, Metam by oil ames. It is Metam regarding the roof will be Mekabel Tumah of oil ames. If you make it into roof, because we learn out from Mishkan, oil, oil, that the roof becomes Tamei, and the Iker oil, as it says in the Mishkan, was a Urias Ezim. That was the one made out of plucked goats here. So therefore, and although it's not Metame ben Negoim, it's Metame ben Negoim, so Oy Beheme Tamei. So regarding the hides of a non-kosher animal, Shem Metame ben Negoim, which is Metame ben Negoim, as we just learned, we have an extra Reba by Negad that says it applies even to non-kosher hides, so in the Din Shem Metame ben Negoim, isn't it a Kavo Chayimah that it would be susceptible to the Tumah of Oy Lames? Because if plucked goats here is Metame Tumah Sames, and it's not by Negad, so here where it is Negad, definitely should apply even to the roof. So that's where the Gemara says that this pshat from Rav Banush says this is where we would learn out that there would be Mekabel Tumah, even the Oy Behemet Tumei, even the hides of a non-kosher animal for the Tumah of Oy Lames. But then the Gemara goes back, the proof that Rav Yosef brought, Ve'lohad the Tana Rav Yosef, Lehoch Shabbat Melech Shemayim, that it was not a kosher, it was not available to use for the service of heaven. Only the hide of a kosher animal. For what halacha was that said? In other words, that since we're adding on non-kosher hides for the tumah of oil hames, so when Rav Yosef says this halacha, what's it for? What does it make a difference what was used as a mishkan, unless it's coming to tell us a certain halacha regarding the halacha of tumah? And if that would be the case, it's not, because we're saying the non-kosher hides are kosher for the halacha of tumah. So what does he mean to say that it was? He's telling us a halacha, not just a historical fact. And therefore, if he's telling us that it was only from Melech HaShemayim a kosher item, and that's the case that it was, we're not learning up the non-kosher hides from the oil, we're learning up from the Kavachem from Neitz Shalizim, but what's he telling it to us for? Why do we want to know what was in the Mishkan, unless it's coming to tell us regarding the oil ames that also has to be kosher hides, and we're saying now that's even by non-kosher hides? That the Gemara says, Litfilin, that it's coming to us a different halacha, that this that we're telling you, the Melech HaShemayim, which included the Mishkan, had to be from kosher hides, it's coming to teach us for a different halacha from Melech HaShemayim. That's for the parashas of the tefillin. And that is that since that's also Melech HaShemayim, that has to be made only from kosher hides. So the Gemara asks, tefillin behediksib, but we have an explicit pasuk that says that tefillin, the parashas, the parchment, has to be from kosher hides. As it says in the pasuk, it says in the parasha of Shemois, it talks about that it should be a sign for you on your hand, and then the remembrance between your eyes.
And then the pasuk concludes, "Lamantia teres Hashem beficha," so that the Torah of Hashem will be in your mouth. On that, the Gemara makes a drasha, "Minha muta beficha," only something that's permitted in your mouth, which are kosher animals. So therefore, we know the parashas have to be from kosher animals. I don't need to have this statement of Rabbi Yosef to tell me that. So what was Rabbi Yosef's statement for? Rather, the Gemara says, "Ela oiren," that's going to come to teach us regarding the leather boxes that we put the parashas into, and that is that those boxes have to be made from the hides of kosher animals, because that we can't learn enough from Lamantia Teres Hashem Beficha, because the boxes are not Torah, it doesn't have any Torah written on it. So therefore, that we have to learn up from that halacha of Rabbi Yosef. Then the Gemara asks, "But Amar Abaya Shin Shel Tefillin Halacha L'Meish Mesin." Abaya says that the shin that's engraved into the tefillin boxes, that's halacha l'meish mesinai, that we should have, let's say, the hides should be pushed and creased on the outside, three different creases, which will look like a shin. And then on the ritzuis, on the straps, you have behind the head is like a dalet. And then on the straps that are wrapped around by the arm is like a yud, which makes Hashem's name shin dalet yud, Hashakai. And since the name of Hashem is written in the creases of the tefillin boxes, so that would be included in the pasuk of Lamantir Teres Hashem Beficha, that it has to be something that's muta beficha, that's permitted to eat, because it is Teres Hashem over there. Hashem's name is written on the tefillin box. I don't need the halacha of Rabbi Yosef to tell me that the boxes have to be made from kosher hides. So the Gemara agrees and says, El Lekerchen Besayon. Rather, it's regarding to wrap it with the hairs, and that is what the Braisa, the Rabbi Yosef was bringing, was that you have to wrap the parashias that are written with the hairs of the kosher animal. And l'toifem begidnet, to sew them with the sinews of the kosher animal, that the boxes, the batim, are sewn with hairs. It has to be with the sinews of the kosher animal. And that we don't learn that from the Matir Teres Hashem Beficha, because it doesn't have Teres Hashem on it. And that the Gemara asks, Hanami halacha Moshe Mesinaihu. We don't need the halacha of Rav Yosef to teach us. That's a halacha that was taught from Moshe at Sinai. The Tanya is learned in the Braisa. Tefillin Merabayas Halacha L'Mesh Mesinai. The fact that the tefillin have to be perfectly squared, that's Halacha L'Mesh Mesinai. And that includes Nechrachan Besirin V'Netvaras Begidin. That has to be wrapped with the hair and it has to be sewn with the sinews of kosher animals. So again, I don't need this Halacha of Rabbi Yosef to teach me that, because I know it's from Halacha L'Mesh Mesinai. Rather, the Gemara says, El Ritzuis. Rather, it's coming to teach us regarding the straps. That the straps have to be from the hides of kosher animals. So the Gemara asked, but Rabbi Yitzchak taught us that the fact that the ritzuis, that the straps have to be black, that's halacha l'meish mesinai. And since the halachas of ritzuis are taught from Sinai, so then obviously the fact that they have to be kosher animals were also taught halacha l'meish mesinai. So why do I need the brayso of Yosef to teach me if it's halacha l'meish mesinai? Now the Gemara answers, no. That although that the halacha l'meish mesinai taught us that the straps have to be black, tahiris migmiri, did it teach us that it have to be from a kosher animal? Maybe non-kosher hides have to be black, and that's why we needed the brayso of Yosef to teach us that melech shemayim has to be from the hides of kosher animals. It's not coming to teach the parashas, it's not coming to teach the batim, and that's not coming to teach the hairs that have to wrap it or the sinews that sew it. Rather, it's coming to teach us that the straps have to be from the hides of kosher animals. And then the Gemara returns to what we were speaking about before. What was the conclusion regarding the animal that was called Tachash that was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? And that is, since we just concluded now that the halacha of Rabbi Yosef, that Melech HaShemayim has to be from the hides of a kosher animal, that was talking about tefillin specifically regarding the Ritzuas, and that it wasn't responding regarding the Melech of the Mishkan. And that is, that's why we don't learn up oil to say that it has to be only kosher hides, and that it could be even non-kosher hides for the Tumah of oil. So therefore, our question was not resolved yet if it was permitted to use the hides of non-kosher animals in the Mishkan or not. On that, the Gemara says, Omer below, Omer b'shem melakish, Oyimah hayir meya, the tachash hayi b'mei Moshe, b'er yibifnei atzma hayo. Remeya said that the animal tachash that was in the days of Moshe was its own unique animal that was never around before or after. And the Chacham, the sages, never were conclusive about it if it was a type of a wild animal or a domesticated behemoth type of animal. However, Karen Achas Hoyle B'Mitzchay, there was one horn that it had on its forehead. Ulefishon is Damal Moshe, was only prepared for Moshe as a temporary thing that was only in the desert in times of Moshe. The Asim in the Mishkan, and from the Tachash, from the hides, they made the Mishkan. The Nignas, and then it was hidden. So the Gemara wants to prove, from the fact that this tachash had one horn on its forehead, you can conclude that it was a kosher animal, and therefore they only use kosher hides in the Mishkan. How do we know that? Yehuda says that the bull that Adam HaRishon sacrificed for HaKadosh Baruch Hu had one horn on its forehead. Like it says in the Pasuk, Vatitev LaHashem, that it's better for Hashem, the shvachim and the praises that people give to Hashem, Mishur Para, than the bull that was makrin mafris, that was horned and hoofed, referring to the bull that Adam HaRishon brought. And therefore we see that just like the Ashur, a bull, is a kosher animal and it had one horn, so too over here when we find another anomaly where the tachash had a horn on his forehead, that it was a kosher animal just like the bull. However, the Gemara asks, how are we learning from this pasuk that the bull of Adam HaRishon had one horn? Makrin Tarti Mashma, the pasuk that it says that's referring to the bull of Adam HaRishon says that it was horned, it's a plural. That's Mashma, that is two. That's what Makrin would mean. So now the Gemara says, "Rav Nachman Yitzchok Mikaren Ksiv." Although it's red in the plural of makrin, but it's written without a yud, which would mean of a horn. Mikaren of a horn. That is, it only had one horn and not two horns. So then the Gemara wants to say now that just like we concluded from Tachash comparing it to the Shur, that it was one horn and there it's a kosher animal. So too Tachash is a kosher animal. So David, that resolved our question in Amin Aleph. But V'liv Sheminei Demin Behemah Hu, should also resolve the other question that Chacham never resolved. If the Tachash was a Behemah or a Chaya, that we should learn just like from Shur, that it's a Behemah, so too over here it's a Behemah, and that the Tachash was not a Chaya. And that the Gemara says, no, although we're concluding from there, from the one horn, that it was a kosher animal, but Kivin Dik a Keresh, since it is a Keresh, which is a type of a deer, Demin Chayahu, that's a type of a Chaya, a wild animal, V'les Le'el Chodikaren, only has one horn, that's why we could say that it was a type of an animal, of a wild animal. So again, although we're learning out that the Tachash, we're concluding that it was a kosher animal, but it possibly it was a Chaya or a Behemah, because both a Keresh and a Shur have that in, at least in the case of Adam HaRishon, had one horn. So therefore, it was inconclusive regarding if it was a Behemah or was a Chaya. Now we continue on to the next Mishnah, which continues from the theme of the previous Mishnahs regarding the Psilois, the different wicks that are able to be used on Shabbos for the Neris of Shabbos. So the Mishnah begins, Psilas HaBeged Shekiplov LaHivva, regarding the wicks of an article of clothing that was folded, but it wasn't singed. And that it was twisted, it was folded and twisted in to make wicks out of it, but it wasn't singed on the flame, so to make it like charred, and that it should be able to be lit well. So therefore, we have a machlekes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, what's the halacha? Rabbi Elazar Omer Temehi, has two halachas. One, that it's susceptible to the halachas of Tumah. Ve'emad likim, and you can't light with it. And that is because he still considers it a beged. And therefore, beged is a kli. So therefore, it's a makabel Tumah if it has at least 3x3 etzbayis, finger breadths squared. And since, again, the twisting does not mevatel, does not abolish it anymore from the halach of beged, it's still considered a beged. And that's because since it wasn't singed. And also he says, and you can't lie with it, as the Gemara is going to explain why it can't be used for lighting as wicks. Pekiva says the reverse regarding both halachas. Tahirihi, it is tahar, and that is the so to speak, the twisting of it and folding it, turning into a wick, although it wasn't singed, is mevatle from a beged, so therefore it's not makabel tuma. Umadlikamban, you could go ahead and light it. It is a kosher wick for the Neris of Shabbos. Now the Gemara wants to discuss this machlokes that they have, both regarding tuma and regarding the halacha of Neris Shabbos. I understand the machlokes regarding tuma, and that is, as we just explained, Rabbi Elazar sabi kipul einam oil. Rabbi Elazar holds that the folding, the twisting, that doesn't help. That doesn't help to be mevatlit from the teres of beged. It's still an article of clothing, although you twisted it, it's still a beged. And different mekamal tuma ubemilse kamaisa kama, and it stays in its original state. Rabbi Akiva sabi kipul moyel ubetuli bater. Rabbi Akiva holds that no, the twisting helps, and therefore it's mevatlit. It's abolished from the halach of beged. It's not a beged anymore. It's a wick, and therefore it can't be mekamal tuma. What is their machlokes regarding using it for the Neris of Shabbos? So now the Gemara gives the first of a few different approaches regarding this machlokes. We're talking about that an article of clothing that was precisely 3x3 finger breadths in its area. And that is, if it was a little bit more, according to everybody, you would be able to light this as the Neris of Shabbos. But here we're talking about that it was exactly precisely 3x3. And ubiyamtav shchalis erev Shabbos eskin. It's also another criteria that it was talking about a case of that Erev Shabbos was on Yom Tov, and therefore it would apply, as we're going to explain, the Isra of Muktzah, because Muktzah applies in Yom Tov too. And the halach is as follows. The Kula Amma Islo Rebbe Yehuda, both Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Akiva hold, like Rebbe Yehuda, that Amma, the Amma Masikim became holds, you're allowed to fuel a fire with kalim, with vessels, you're allowed to take a full shirt or plate, whatever it is, and use it to fuel a fire.
However, he holds ve'im asikim b'shiver kelim. He holds you're not allowed to fuel a fire with broken kelim that were broken that day, because that's what's known as noilet, that it was created a new thing. Before it was a whole, now it's a broken, it's a new item that was never there before. However, kelim, regular full-fledged articles of clothing, that's since you're allowed to move around because you could use it to wear. So that's not muktzah. So for that you could use, but if it's broken, that's called noilet. And that's Rabbi Huda's opinion that he holds of muktzah, of noilet, that you wouldn't be able to move around and to use it as fuel the broken kelim. And then udukulam islu ula, and also everyone agrees to the criteria, they all hold of ula. So again, we have so far three criteria. We have one that everyone agrees that we're talking about, it's precisely 3x3. It's also talking about that it's yamtiv, that's Erev Shabbos. The third one is that everyone agrees to the Rabbi Huda, to the halacha, that he's machmer regarding muktzah, noilet, that shibri kelim can be used as fuel. And then there's a fourth item, everyone agrees to ula. The Amar Ula, that Ula says, Hamadlik tzarech sheyadlik b'yev ha'yetzeh, that the one who's lighting the Neis HaShabbos, it's not enough just to light a little bit. He has to light the majority of the wick that's protruding out of the lamp. And that is, you have to, before you move your hand away, you have to make sure that most of the wick that's out was already lit up. And therefore, it comes out that the person is going to be lighting this wick even after that it was diminished already from the 3x3 at spice, because you have to wait till a little bit is lit, and then you have to make sure more. So therefore, as we're going to see, the reason of Rabbi Elazar that he holds that it's usa to use it as the Neir Shabbos when it's on Yom Tov, that's Erev Shabbos, because he holds that the twisting, it doesn't help, and therefore it's still considered a beged. Therefore, it's like a kli that was broken on Yom Tov, because when you light it a little bit, since it was exact, so now, once it got down to less than 3x3, it's now shivrei kelim, it's a broken kli, because less than 3x3 finger breaths wide is not worthy as a kli. So therefore, now it's a kli that broken on Yom Tov. So therefore, when you're lighting to fulfill the quota of the majority of the wick that's coming out, you're lighting by the broken wick, by the broken garment that you turned into wick. And that's that. Although we say that you're allowed to light by kelim, that's only if we're talking about that you didn't touch it after it was diminished less than the measurement. Unless, as the Gemara is going to explain on the next daf, that you added more woods that were prepared beforehand, so you can mevatla, then you can light more. However, here we're talking about, as the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar Savar, a kibul enam oil, that the twisting, it doesn't help. So therefore, it's still considered a kli. It didn't become a wick, it's still the garment. But given the adlik beipurta, and since you lit it a little bit, again, it was exactly 3x3, now that you lit it, and now you have to keep on lighting it, because you have to get the whole wick, at least the majority that's sticking out, havalei shever kli. So it's a broken kli. And therefore, v'chikom adlik b'shever kli komadlik. Now when you're lighting, because you still have to keep it, you can't just light it and go away, you're lighting by a broken kli, which is usher to do, because you're using something that's muktzah, because it's what's called noilet. It was before it was a kli, now it's a broken kli. That's called noilet. It's created a new entity, a new item, that's applicable to halachas of muktzah, and you can't use it for muktzah, because you can't use it. Therefore, he holds you can't use it for the nearest of Shabbos, when again, Yom Tov is Erev Shabbos. For b'kiva sabr, as we said before, kibul moil, that the twisting, it does help. And therefore, from Erev Yom Tov here, it already twisted it, because we said you can't, the halacha is brought in the Gemara in Beya, that you can't twist, you can't make a wick on Yom Tov. So already the kli was already bottled from Erev Yom Tov. And therefore, there's no more halachas of shever kli, because it's not a kli. As the Gemara says, Ve'en Tariz Kli Alav, because he holds that turning into a wick makes it into a wick. It's not a beged anymore. And therefore, V'chikom Madlik, Be'etz Ba'al Mekom Madlik, when you're lighting, you're just lighting a piece of wood. You're not lighting with a shever kli. You're not, when it's getting down from 3x3 to less than that, you didn't do anything, because even when it was 3x3, it wasn't a beged, it wasn't a kli, it was just a wick. It's just a piece of wood. And therefore, he holds that it's mutter. So the Gemara says, now that we said this statement, that this is the Pshat Namachleikas, this is what we learned in the Braisa, Gimel Gimel Mitzumtzmes. We learned that regarding a specific halacha, there's Toma when it's precisely 3x3 etzbois by 3x3 etzbois. But Leidan Lamahechas, I did not know for what halacha was that. Another way, I learned from my teachers, my Rebbeim, a Mishnah regarding 3x3 that are precise. I didn't know for what halacha was. That if it's regarding the halachas of tumah, then kol shekin, definitely even more would become tummy. So what would have to be precisely 3x3? And now I know that it's referring to this machlokes that between Rabbi Elazar and Bekiva, that if you could use it as a wick for the Shabbos candles when it's Erev Yom Tov or not. What the Gemara asks, when the commentary to Rav Adi Bahava libed Rabbi Yehuda, now that Rav Adi Bahava, he's the one that gave this opinion, that both the Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Bekiva are both in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Shemam and the Rabbi Yehuda, really, obviously he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And that is, the Gemara is wondering that how did Rav Adah say this statement, but
he himself, it seems, says somewhere else, not like Rabbi Yehuda. And if he's saying, if he wants to say that both opinions, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, hold like Rabbi Yehuda, obviously he would say it according to the halachic, you know, formulation that everyone agrees like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is halach of Noilad. However, Amir Amar Rav Adar Bar Hava, did he say this, that halach is like Rabbi Yehuda? V'amar Rav Adar Bar Hava, we continue on the top of Chav Tesem et Aleph, that Nachri Shechoka Kav, because he saw that a Gentile that carved out a Kav, which is a certain measurement of a volume, in a log of a Jew, and that he did this on Yom Tiv, which that's the halach of Noilad, to create a new entity. He made something, he carved something out of the wood, that Masika B'yamtiv, that you could use that for fuel as on Yamtiv. Vamai, why is that? Noilid, who? It's Noilid that's creating a new entity. So obviously, he does not hold like Rabbi Yehuda. He holds that Noilid is not a problem of the halachas of Mukta. But here he goes and he says that everyone agrees that the machlekes of these two Tanoim are like Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, he holds that that is the halacha consensus. So the Gemara says, no. He really holds that there's no problem of Noilid. He doesn't hold of Mukta. He was only saying that regarding the opinions of Rabbi Elazar and Akiva that they hold like Rabbi Yehuda, but he does not hold like that. And that is, this that Rabbi Adar Bar Hava said that this is what the machlekes is, that they're both going like Rabbi Yehuda, is because he saw their machlekes, that it wouldn't make sense only if they both hold like Rabbi Yehuda. But he doesn't hold like that. He only holds like Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, it's not a problem for him to say that that was the maskana, that that's the pshat in this machlekes and not Mishnah, that they're both like Rabbi Yehuda. But however, la halacha, he passes like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds not like the halach of Muktzah, and that Noile would not be a problem, and therefore, the Gentile that carved out the log of a Jew could be used as fuel on Yom Tov.